Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and it's time now for some inspiration. Because in 1895, 45-year-old mountaineer Annie Smith Peck of Providence, Rhode Island, was named by the New York Times as the third woman ever to summit the Matterhorn in the Swiss Alps. She was the first woman to do it in pants. Scandalous for 1895. Peck was known as the Queen of the Climbers. She was also a scholar and a suffragette. A young fan of hers, one Amelia Earhart, once said she, quote, felt like an upstart compared to Miss Peck. Well, Hannah Kimberly is author of the first ever biography of Annie Smith Peck. It's called A Woman's Place is at the Top. And Hannah joins me now. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me, Meghna.
It's really great to have you. First of all, how did you first hear of Annie Smith Peck and why did you want to write about her?
Well, my dad actually found a poster of her in an antique shop. And he'd said, A Woman's Place is at the Top, hence the title of the book. And it said that she was a mountain climber and a suffragist and an expert on North-South American relations. And he said, it reminded me of you. Oh. So he brought it home and I ended up writing a book about her.
What a cool thing for your dad to do. Okay, so let's tell a little story then about Annie Smith Peck, because we talked about her summiting the Matterhorn a second ago, but you have a story in the book about how she became the first woman to climb what was then thought to be one of the highest peaks in the Western Hemisphere.
Right, that's Mount Huascarán in Peru. So at the time, a lot of these mountains were unclimbed. They were virgin peaks. So she was sort of searching for the highest peak or what might be the highest peak that had been unclimbed by any man or woman. And she read in the footnote of a book that Huascarán might be the highest peak in the Western Hemisphere. And so she set out to climb it.
All right. Well, can you read a little excerpt then? This is from A Woman's Place is at the Top.
Sure. In the frigid temperatures, one of the Swiss guide's hands and one of his feet developed blood-filled purplish blisters that turned hard and black as his muscles, blood vessels, and nerves had frozen without proper protection. He was frostbitten so badly that eventually he would have to have most of his left hand, a finger on his right, and half of his foot amputated. The trek down was less than celebratory. Nonetheless, the American leader of the expedition quietly felt a sense of satisfaction at finally conquering the mountain after 5 long years on the 6th attempt at the age of 58. Her name was Annie Smith Peck.
Wow. That's an excerpt from A Woman's Place is at the Top, a biography of Annie Smith Peck, Queen of the Climbers. She was a 19th century mountaineer and suffragette. And we'll get to the suffragette part in just a second, but how is it that that Peck first got into mountaineering? It doesn't seem like a very common pastime for the 19th century.
Well, it was. She started vacationing with her family in the Adirondacks. And so they were sort of, you know, these city slickers who had gone into the wilderness and would climb around a bit there. But she first got the bug when she was traveling in Europe. And she saw that people were climbing the Matterhorn. Mm. But she didn't have the $50 to rent the equipment and the guide, so she promised herself that she would go back. And she ended up going back 10 years later in 1895 when she was 45.
So she started her mountaineering career at the age of 45?
Exactly.
Wow.
Right.
Okay, so she's quite an unusual person. And was, I mean, she before that she had been, what, lecturing and teaching at
right.
Smith?
She did a year at Smith and 2 years at Purdue University. But she found out pretty much that, this is going to sound so strange, Meghna, but she was not making the same amount of money as her male counterparts.
I'm shocked.
So she set off to be a lecturer and then realized once she started lecturing on her Matterhorn climb that people became more interested.
Okay. So on that Matterhorn ascent, we quoted the New York Times, right, saying that she was the third woman ever to do the summit and the first in pants.
Right, right. And she actually wasn't even the third. There were plenty more women before her. But the scandalous part was that she was wearing pants because most women climbers at the time climbed in long skirts or dresses.
Now, no This is no offense to Annie Smith Peck, because climbing any mountain is an accomplishment. But it seems like at first blush, I was like, wow, it might have been even harder to do it in skirts.
Definitely. So. And that's exactly what she said. It's just too risky to be climbing in a skirt.
You know. But when so she said it was too risky. Okay, because I was wondering, because you write how she was a suffragette as well. Was she trying to make a political statement by wearing pants, or was
no,
this purely like, I need to get to the top safely?
Exactly. She just didn't want to break her neck, she said.
Okay. But she became very famous for her mountaineering triumphs.
She did, and she used that to her advantage. So she was on a series of trading cards titled The World's, you know, Famous Explorers, with 24 men and then Annie. She went out, her images went out with every Singer sewing machine that was sold in 1910.
No kidding.
Yeah, to sort of inspire women pumping away at the treadle of their Singer sewing machines. And she used it to her advantage. So she'd get to the top of a peak and plant a banner that, you know, read Votes for Women.
Wow.
So she used it in terms of the suffragist movement.
Okay. And did she play sort of a further role in the suffragette movement, aside from using her fame to advance awareness of it?
She did. And she also participated in politics before women had the right to vote. So she was hired, for example, by Woodrow Wilson's political presidential campaign, and she stumped for him and did lots of speeches that sort of packed the halls of these men that would come to see this mountain climber speaking on behalf of Wilson. Hmm. So she participated in politics as well as wrote loads and loads of articles and editorials about the suffrage movement.
Yeah. So, you know, back to the actual mountaineering that she did. It seems like she climbed in Europe and in North and South America a lot.
Yes.
So no one really ever does any of those peaks, well, I guess especially in the 19th century, alone. Was she often the only woman?
She was always the only woman.
And so how did that work out for her? Were there, you know, I don't want to say power struggles, but did the male climbers take her seriously?
There were power struggles between her and her guides and also her porters. You know, they'd get finished, you know, a long day of climbing, and she would still be expected to cook. So it was hard for them, I think, to take orders from a woman. But she would always stand up for herself and say, you know, I hired you. I can fire you. We're going. We're doing this. So there were some, you know, times of mutiny with her crews, definitely.
Wow.
Where she had to turn back because they said, we can't go any farther.
Right. Okay. Because you really don't want your team to fall apart when you're at 20,000 feet. Or
exactly.
Something like that.
Exactly.
Oh, tough. Okay. So I understand that she kept climbing until her 80s. Is that right?
She did. Her last peak was in the presidential range at age 82, but she had slowed down before that. But when she was 80, she took a 20,000-mile tour on the first commercial flights around South America. So think like no runways,
yeah,
with the leather hat on, like Amelia Earhart. So she did that when she was 80. So flew over the mountains instead of climbing on them, and then wrote a book about that.
These indefatigable, adventurous women. Love it. We just got less than a minute here then. I mean, so scholar, suffragette, mountain summiter, sounds like a pretty impressive legacy here. Why is it that you think more people don't know about Annie Smith Peck?
Well, she never married, and there really wasn't any family members left to sort of carry on her legacy, although she hired a biographer, and he just couldn't garner any interest in her, in a biography of her. There's a great letter that I found that says, you know, there's no interest in a biography of her at the time, and that letter was on August 1st, and this book, my book, came out on August 1st.
Wow.
So it was a nice sort of full circle moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm hoping that there's a lot of interest now, right? Well, Hannah Kimberly is author of the new biography of Annie Smith Peck. She was called in 1895 the Queen of the Climbers. And the biography is A Woman's Place is at the Top. Hannah, it's been so great. Thank you so very much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me. And hi to all the girls at the Academy at Penguin Hall. Thanks for tuning in.
That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.